Hi everyone, welcome to the Precious Pioneer audio experience. Kindness never goes out of style. Let's do something great today.
Self and social awareness. These are two characteristics of people that I absolutely love speaking to, and I absolutely love coaching. The reason being is that, certainly through my own journey, taking a look at the rest of the world and the human behaviours, what's going wrong, what's going right, and understanding that accountability is paramount to our progression as individuals and collectively, sometimes we forget we are part of that mix. And sometimes we forget that actually we just need to focus on getting our best life in order to bring more bestness to the rest of the world. That's why I love coaching people who are about equality and about happiness and joy for every single human being on this planet. Welcome to the Social Cohesion Podcast. My name's Daniel Holly, and I hope you enjoy these episodes. It would be an understatement to say that the current climate is messy, it's hard, it's challenging. And while this is going on, we've got people in isolation, people quarantined for months. And there's also key workers, people who have to be out there to ensure that our nations continue to tick over, at least on the basics. And then there are these people who have a strong, undefeatable passion for what they do, who unfortunately, due to quarantine, due to isolation, can no longer do that work. And my next coachee is one of those people. Precious is a talented chef whose goal stretches beyond simply cooking for people. And she'll share that with you in this episode. But what do you do when you have this incredible, undefeatable passion for something, and it's almost as though the entire world itself is stopping you from doing it? What do you do when you have a fire in your core and yet there is no fuel? Precious, first of all, thank you for agreeing to have this conversation with me.
Of course, I'm glad to be here.
And I love it when people say that because I'm always like, wait until we've had the conversation and we'll see.
Well, I'm a pretty open person, so I think that I think no matter where we go, I think it'll be a positive experience.
Excellent. Excellent. So, Precious, what would you like to have that's new for you at the end of this conversation?
I think something that I'd really like to take away is to be able to step in a little bit more confidence, despite all of the events that go around, you know, in our day to day. I think I'd like to be able to just have the courage to take a leap of faith despite, you know, the fear of the unknown. Mm.
Immediately, I'm curious, what specific area are you looking to leap into with faith?
Well, right now I'm at the very beginning of my career, which is hospitality. I'm a chef. And so for the very first time, our industry completely has been obliterated. And so that's a lot of tense and a lot of stress, given that, you know, over 40 million people are unemployed, including myself. And so it's a weird grounding place, not knowing how we'll be able to move past this, I suppose, you know. Mm.
So you said we. Who's we?
Well, I recently graduated from a hospitality college, and so a lot of my friends are also in the hospitality industry. industry, whether they're at hotels or restaurants. And so when I say we, I kind of just think of them and I think of like we're all in this spot. And I think that's the only thing that kind of brings me a bit of courage and positivity, because, you know, we're all sitting in this like weird space of like unemployment, I suppose. Mm. So it's just an interesting spot to be in. So
Okay, so what I'm going to invite you to do as we move through this conversation is I'm going to invite you to change the word we to I.
Okay.
Not to, of course, segregate yourself from the familiar situation you are in with your friends, but to acknowledge that you're having this conversation for yourself and not necessarily for the weight of your friends and colleagues' situations as well.
All right, I can do that.
All right, okay then. Now, this concern you have, is this a concern that you're familiar with in your past, or is this new concern because of the new environment?
It's a good question. Honestly, I think that fear has always kind of been with me. I'm a military kid, so I've always moved around from place to place. And I think I've adjusted and become accustomed to letting things go and letting change just happen. But I think one thing that I found a lot of security in is the hard work I put in towards my career and learning new things to advance who I want to become. And in my occupation, so I put a lot of my eggs into this basket. And sorry, I'm like super emotional all the time. But I think that the reason why this particular section has impacted me specifically is because a lot of my security was in that, and not knowing what will become of it is just, it's like a recall of a lot of different things that I have previously experienced.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I will say, if you need to take a moment, take the moment by all means.
All right.
I am thinking though about your career as a chef. Now, it's funny you use the term all eggs in one basket, because I want to go down that road a little bit and ask, whenever you're making dinner for yourself, do you find that you need to have absolutely every ingredient in order to create a meal for yourself?
No, actually. I think one of the coolest things about being a chef is we're imaginative, we're creative. So we make something beautiful out of nothing. And so I think one of the best things is improvising and being able to create something like that without having all of the ingredients. It's like in our restaurants, I like to use, and I guess my coworkers too, we like to use, like an inside joke, like look up your chef Google or something. And so if we don't have eggs or something, like what can we substitute in certain meals to be able to recreate it and maybe even make it better without the ingredients we need. So.
I'm wondering if in saying that alone, something may have sparked.
Right. I understand your connection to that reference, and I think you're right. I guess supposedly not all of my eggs are into this one career basket. You know, I don't think I necessarily identify myself as like my only purpose is the job that I'm in. I think what really resonated with me is that it's one of the main things that sparks a lot of joy for me, and to see it depleted, I think that's what brought on a little bit of sadness. So, because in hospitality, it's like a very unique field, and our job is solely to make other people happy. And in return, we have a lifetime of happiness. That's kind of our motto. And so with quarantine for the past few months, you know, you're kind of isolated. And so it's a definitely different day-to-day mindset than, you know, where we go to work every day. You know, we're fulfilling other people's needs, and now suddenly we're, you know, by ourselves or with our family or wherever we are.
I'm wanting to guess that chefs have a, they can have their unique style. How would you describe your style as a chef?
I would say that no matter what it is, despite the recipe, I'm definitely one to add my own flair or unique sense of perspective on it. But I think that has to do with a lot of my cultural background. You know, my mom has Mexican roots, and so I remember I had a culinary final. And so we had like a prep list and we learned all these recipes. And so for my final exam, I had to make a chicken parmesan, like something that's kind of simple, but a little bit tedious if you don't know what you're doing. And I remember adding like chilies and all kinds of different peppers and stuff to the marinara. And they were just like, this is not the recipe, but it's good. So we'll give you an A, you know? So I think that's definitely, you know, that's more my style, you know, no matter what it is, I'll always. If I think I can improve it, I'm going to add a little bit of extra to it. So.
I'm going to pull in from a previous conversation. So this conversation we had up before this recording here, I'm going to pull from that. And just for the listeners and for this conversation, could you just say what your goal is at present in regards to food and chefing and hospitality?
My biggest dream, I suppose, I do want to become a chef, but I think one of the biggest things for me is understanding the importance of food and how it impacts and is intertwined in everyone's life and their culture and in their day-to-day. And so there's a new term of being what it means to be a sustainable chef. And it's way more than just bringing creating a beautiful dish and setting in front of someone. It's being mindful of where food comes from, what it does for people, and being a food advocate, bringing food to people who don't have access to the right nutrition and things like that, and just being really aware of what it can do, especially for your health, for your mind, for your heart. And so I think my dream, especially, is just to bring that knowledge and power to people and also just spark a lot of joy for people. I think one of the most rewarding things in for a chef is, you know, people come to our restaurants to celebrate their birthdays, anniversaries, and other various celebrations, you know, and with each meal that we serve, we're a part of that memory. You know, they take photos and we contributed to that sense of joy. And I think that's probably one of the most rewarding things we can do, or I can do, you know, as a chef.
How does it feel talking about that?
It actually makes me really calm and really happy. I don't know, there's nothing like it. I think almost everyone can relate when they labor into a dish for a couple of hours for your special date or someone you care about, and they're like, wow, this is so good. Or they ask for a recipe, you know, there's like that warm feeling of like, wow, you know, they appreciate my efforts. And it could be an expression in other things that you do in your whatever, you know, your joy is. It could be raking the leaves or, you know, acts of kindness. And I think that's really how that resonates with me. Like, I just love to bring that to people. I love when I used to be a pastry chef before everything happened, and I had my own dessert and chocolatiering case to myself. And so I got to decorate it every morning with all the different chocolates and pastries. And as I set it up each morning, I loved when guests come in and they're like, wow, it looks so pretty. And then they'd buy a whole bunch of them. And I'm like, wow, you know, I did that. And so I think that just brings a lot of joy for me that, you know, they're all my little memories that I put a lot of labor into, and people really enjoy that. And so that makes me happy.
Okay, let's capture that. Let's hold on to that energy right now. And let's look at opportunities. Because as you've established, being a chef is about being creative. It's about having empty pans, empty plates, empty stomachs, and filling it with a variety of ingredients that you know go together and work and bring people joy. Now you've got to turn that on yourself and where you're at right now. So in terms of at home, what ingredients do you have that allow you to communicate this creation outward into the world?
Well, as of recently, you know, I'm with my family right now, and my mom usually makes dinner for us. And so I actually picked up a couple of days, if you want to call them dinner shifts. And I started cooking for my family. And so that has definitely brought a lot of joy. You know, it's the same sort of energy. You know, that's where it originally started. You know, I always loved making dinner or making desserts for my family. That's what I did in high school and growing up. And so now I just kind of took that upon myself, you know, and so I make dinner for them. And that's kind of what I have been doing at home to, you know, still get that sense of energy that I had before, you know.
Okay. What other opportunities have you got? What other ingredients do you have at your disposal in your home where you are now that you can, again, communicate that joy that you bring out into the world?
To be honest, I'm not too sure. It's funny that you ask, because when you say that, the first thing that comes to mind, we're actually in the middle of moving. So I'm thinking about my fridge, and I'm like, the only thing I have in my fridge is probably a few LaCroix and like a carton of strawberries. You know, it's like super empty right now. There's not anything in there. And so, yeah, that's what comes to mind. We're literally in the middle of moving. So.
Okay. How long is the move going to take?
2 weeks. So right now I'm actually in a hotel, and we came up here to kind of look at the house and do a whole bunch of ceremonial pleasantries and stuff. You know, my dad's in the military, as I mentioned, and so it's a lot more of a formal move than your typical day to day. And so then we'll go back to where we live now and outside of DC and pack up for the next 2 weeks, and then we'll come right back up here.
Okay. How are you able to view the next 2 weeks then, in regards to bringing yourself some clarity and confidence over the unknown?
Well, funny enough, I think that our previous conversation is kind of a very small percentage that's always been in my mind. You know, I feel like I'm a relatively positive person. And so I'm actually, despite everything that I just said, it's completely opposite of how I like feel on the outside in the frontal part of my mind. Because the thing is, though, with restaurants, especially now, everything, it's 2020, and everything in our lives has updated, renewed itself, evolved into something greater, you know, with technology and all these different things. But restaurants have always stayed the same. And so in that sense, they have actually been flawed in many ways. You know, we haven't updated and evolved into something. And so even though I always say that sometimes rock bottom is the perfect place to like build something new, to evolve and turn it into something. And so even though, you know, the hospitality industry is completely, you know, flattened out, now we can actually build something better than before. And I think that chefs are kind of getting together and finding creative ways to feed people. And, you know, to say that this is like the very beginning of my career, I'm going to have lived in a place where restaurants were what they were before, but now I'm starting out with the new innovative ways of like how we feed people and how we create things. And so I always wanted to start my own restaurant and open my own restaurant. And now I don't even know what that's going to look like. But as the creative, you know, chefs are always scrappy, you know, I'm very scrappy and creative. And so, like I said, we make a lot of something out of nothing. And so to see what our restaurants are going to look like is, of course, worrisome, like I said, because, you know, it's hard to see anything when there's literally nothing right now. But to think about what it's going to look like in the future is kind of almost exciting, because we know that the demand is certainly there. People still want to eat out at fancier places, or, you know, meals that they can't typically cook at home. Not everybody's a pastry chef at their house, you know? And so it's just thinking about how we're going to pivot and how we're going to cliche, like, rise from the ashes, I guess. It's just going to be really interesting. And so for that, I'm really excited to collaborate with my peers and create something, you know, the world hasn't quite seen.
Okay. Tell me, from the beginning of the conversation, how are you feeling now?
I feel good.
I'm going to prod at your dreams now.
You're going to what?
Prod at your dreams.
Okay.
Because I think it's more because I didn't ask the question clearly enough. And what I'm wondering is, with you being in quarantine, currently being unemployed, what I'm assuming is extra time, spare time, and there's a window. There's a blank canvas, there's an empty plate of opportunity right now in which that dream you have is waiting to be started.
Right. And that's a good point. I think that sense of anxiety is this abyss, this waiting period that I'm currently in. You know, so I was scheduled to study abroad in Spain to start my culinary career and go to culinary school. And I was supposed to start this September, but with everything, it got pushed back to January. And for anyone listening, you know, obviously culinary school is an arm and a leg to kind of get over there and to pay for. And, you know, not being unemployed and not having any income obviously is kind of, I think that's the forefront of this abyss, this worry, because it seems that everything is put on hold and now it doesn't seem as feasible as it was before. Like, I had a plan and financial backing and, you know, security. And it's kind of diminished. You know, I lost 4 or 5 months of income, you know, and to travel abroad, you know, takes a lot of money to save and to fund and to pay for. And so kind of envisioning my life, how it's going to be if I'm going to make it, you know, have enough savings to make it even in January is kind of, I think, what's really the forefront of my worries, because, you know, that's what I call, you know, the start of my career. But if I can't get it started, it's kind of just, you know, now what?
And that now what is exactly that dream that you can begin. Because I'm guessing it's also the same with chefing as well. You know, you've had these plans, they've come about, some thing has taken place that sabotaged the process of what meal you're making, what dish you're preparing, and everything's had to go away. It's gone in the bin, and you recognize that you actually have to start again. And you can't start again doing exactly the same thing because you may have used up some of the ingredients for the previous plate. So you just got to start again. But again, chefs are creative, they're resourceful. And as you said, making something out of nothing. This is a wonderful strength that you have in a particular field. And I really, I'm just thinking, in this time that you have, again, and in this unknown, the wonderful thing about unknowns is that they actually can be opportunities simply for you to either spend time sitting in the unknown, knowing that things are outside of your power, and you roll with it, you take time, you take the breaths, and you allow these things, or you wait for the time, or you begin a process of recognizing that things are out of your hands, and you go, right, what is in my hands? What can I make? What can I create? What can I do? Because I may not be able to predict the future, but I certainly can create one.
Right. And I think I've definitely taken that mindset head on. You know, I had to take a step back and realize what I can do, what can I do now, you know, and what brings me joy. And I had to realize, you know, I had to go back to the root of why I enjoyed cooking in the first place, you know, why I want to become a chef. And so, and I, with all of those memories of, you know, sparking joy for other people and education and food advocacy and sustainability and all those different, you know, eggs, I'm like, well, I have most of them. You know, I have most of those things that I can do now. And so that's when I started cooking for my family. And I'm like, okay, so that's one. And then, you know, I have my own podcast show that interviews a lot of other like-minded individuals, and then also people who all over the world who kind of experience the same things but have different food cultural backgrounds. And so, you know, I love finding the why in other people and making those connections. So that was another, you know, egg, if you want to call it. And so, you know, and so I'm okay with accumulating these small wins, you know. And I had to just realize, you know, that, you know, everyone kind of had to take, I realized that talking with all these people that everyone kind of had to take a minor step back, you know, it's just not my industry, but it's everything. I don't think anybody could have predicted a pandemic, and to put that self on me isn't really fair, you know, it's not fair. And so I thought about, I think my dad instilled this in me, and it's always worst case scenario, you know, what's the worst possible thing that could happen, you know? And then it would be that I maybe postpone, you know, going to school a little bit longer, and, you know, that wouldn't be the end of the world, you know, if financial troubles were the main root, you know, that's not the end of the world. And so I just kind of had to let that go. And I think I put a lot of pressure on myself to fill these timestamps. I've always been that way, you know, like I need to be a chef at this level. I need to be a manager at this level, you know? And so, I think having to let that go, I felt kind of bad, you know, 'cause I always had this like need to climb a certain ladder by a certain age. And it's just these pressures I put on myself that weren't necessarily important, you know, if my main importance was to spark joy in other people and to get all of the other emotional extractions, I guess, that come with being a chef, then that's just a small percentage, you know, the ladder is a small percentage of that. And I can still do those connections in other ways. I just had to be a little bit scrappy with it, I suppose, and, you know, make it work for now. It's a band-aid fix, but I think it's good. I think it's healing overall.
Precious, what's missing from this conversation for you?
Well, honestly, I think I know that I'm incredibly self-aware. Like I know all, I feel like it's like, you know, how do I describe it? You know all the right answers. It's like when you go through a breakup or something, and then you know that you get the cliche of like, oh, there's more fish in the sea and like you can do better and all these different things. You know, that list of like all those things people say. It's like, yes, those are all the right answers, but it doesn't make that person feel any better. You know what I mean? It's that same sort of feeling, I suppose. It's like, yes, I know, like, it's not the end of the world. Yes, I know, I could always push it back, but it doesn't make you feel good. It's just kind of like the right answer and something that we all have to get through, but, and it sucks, but shoulder shrug, you know? It's like that, that's kind of what I, that's what I feel, and it's the truth, but it doesn't make, I, you know, you want what you want, you know, you want to be able to meet your goals and accomplish your dreams, but having it pushed back isn't the most ideal. But
can I just interrupt? I want you to start that bit again. You want what you want. I want you to rephrase it from the beginning and say all of that again, but I want you to say I instead of you.
Well, well, I want to go to school and I don't want it to be pushed back. And I know that's not the most ideal, but it's just, I want what I want, you know? And, but I also understand that to have these limitations and these deadlines and pressures on myself in the middle of a pandemic isn't the most ideal. And I should let it go and be okay with that. And be proud of myself to find happiness despite all of that. Because I know that given everything that's going on, I'm actually in a fairly blessed and privileged kind of perspective, despite, you know, that, you know, quite a few thousand of people have passed away from this virus and all these other things. And so I think that humbling, it's humbling knowing all of that. And I know that I'm okay and I'll be okay. So it's, you know, it's not what I, not what I want, but I don't think anybody wants this. So that's, I think that's pretty fair as well.
Okay, so over the next however long, while we're quarantined, you're spending this time thinking, focusing on what you want, you know, focusing on the things that you have planned out and so on. During that time, what are you missing? What are you missing during that time of thinking about the things you want?
What am I missing? Like in the terms of, I miss this, I wish I could do this, or more of like, something that's missing from my life while I'm inside. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So what are you missing out on during this time? Because your focus is very much on the things you had planned and they are very much focused on a future. And let's say this continues on for another 2 or 3 months. You're at home, you're with the family, you have your dinner shifts. And your energy, of course, is on that future. What are you missing out on?
A job, I guess. I think that's the first thing that comes to mind. Honestly, everything else is, I guess it is what it is. You know, I don't think I mind too much of everything that's going on. Quarantine hasn't really affected me in that sense because I could... I'm a very creative person, so I'm always keeping busy, you know, so that's not necessarily the issue. I just feel like when the main thing I'm missing is my job, and in the sense of the income that it brings, you know, I feel like every day that I'm not working, my dream kind of just takes a step back along with it. And, you know what, I'm afraid I won't be able to see it anymore. Like I'm losing sight of it because, you know, you hear the typical like, oh, you know, I don't even know what day it is anymore. Cause you know, the days just pass by. And so that's not very, that's not a very great feeling, but go ahead, please.
So actually it's funny because I asked the question and your mind still went to the future. You're still running in that timeline of I'm missing my job because of my future.
Right. I think that's just how I always think. I guess to answer your question just frankly, I guess I'm not missing out on anything, on my day to day. I'm pretty fulfilled in that sense. I don't necessarily miss anything at the moment. I'm in a position where I had moved, and so it's not like my friends are nearby anyway. So we always FaceTime, and so all those different things. I'm already fulfilled. I'm not missing anything. Though of course I do miss my job for the actual cooking part. That's fun, but I understand that that's not practical. And if I went to work right now, it'd be very, very, very slow. There'd be probably like one person or two, so.
Okay, I'm going to put a challenge on you then, Precious. I'm going to put a challenge here. This is going to be tough, but in everything that you've said throughout this conversation, I understand, of course, there's a grieving taking place because something has been lost here. And it's the plan, it's something you love, it's progress, it's a lot of those things. But you said it yourself. I want what I want, but no one planned for a pandemic. No one asked for this. No one really, really truly predicted this was going to happen exactly this time. And you said yourself, I've got to let it go.
Right.
And while your time is spent thinking, I could be planning for this, I could be doing this for the future, you're with your family. You said you FaceTime your friends, right? You still run your podcast, I believe.
Right.
There's all this stuff happening right now that when the time comes and you're out and you're going back to culinary school and so on, I believe when you move to Spain, there's a chance you may miss all the people you have here. You've got them now.
It's funny that you say that. That's true. I think that I will at least. but I don't know. I feel like I'm definitely a different breed of person. I suppose being a military kid, you kind of just get used to moving so that mm-hmm. loss just isn't there. A lot of people are kind of shocked sometimes when I'm like, okay, bye. I'm moving across the country. And they're like, wow, like usually people feel really sad and all these different things. But for me, it's a different sort of feeling. It's, I've changed what it means to move away. It's more of the start of a new beginning, something exciting, something that you haven't experienced before. And so mm-hmm. it definitely has more of a positive connotation than a negative one. Mm-hmm. And my family has been super supportive of me and my dream. And so they almost feel a little bit sad for me that it has been pushed back because, they want to, they want to see me like I've never been abroad before. Well, yeah, abroad at all, despite how many times I have moved, I've never been to another country. Mm. So I just think that I think I'll miss them, sure, but it doesn't hold that same significance as something that I feel like other people can really, really relate to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's the challenge, and it's a 30-day challenge. Oh, and I'm going to have a conversation with you in 30 days to see how you got on. Okay. You have opportunities to cook at home, and you're right. It's not quite the same, of course, as being at work. You have these opportunities to continue chefing there. I'm going to challenge you to keep your mind as present and in the present as possible for the next 30 days. And that's a challenge, because actually, while you have these plans, what I've got from this conversation is that what's causing this friction and this uncertainty is this eagerness and enthusiasm, of course, to move forward. And just like you said, you can't. And so all you're doing is wanting to move in a direction where there's just a wall, a wall, a wall, a wall. And so all you're left with is to stay present. Almost as though every time you think about the future, it brings you pain.
Right. Okay. I'm conflicted. But
Of course,
all
of course. Of course you will be, because
right.
this is your whole thing. This is your bread and butter. This is in your blood to do this. And as you say, military family, this is it. This is how you've certainly grown up, you know?
We're persistent folk. So you mentioned a
Absolutely.
wall, but I'm just like, okay, but like, have you ever seen that depiction of the raindrop or whatever that hits that wall every day and eventually it goes through, you know? So I feel like working on it each day, you know, increases my chances. I don't know if that's just me being ridiculously optimistic or I don't
To a
know.
degree, I'm thinking in terms of chances of what, because I'm talking about in the context of this pandemic, and of course the restaurants getting opened up again, and so on, right?
Right.
In terms of those chances, if there is anywhere where you have control over that, and how much control do you have over when the restaurants open?
Oh, in that case, not much at all. Right.
Okay. So in terms of the raindrop, I'm sure there are places where you absolutely can put that raindrop down onto brick and slowly that'll wear away. But it's also picking really where raindrops are going to wear away things and where they won't. And I think what you're doing is you are dropping this rain. I'm going to take that analogy now. You're dropping this raindrop. You're dropping this raindrop onto a material that will not be eroded. And you're expecting it to be eroded, and it won't be.
That's a good perspective for sure. No, I needed that shift. Okay, yeah, I know what you mean now. Yeah.
I can absolutely see you're like, I don't want to do this, isn't
A very stubborn person, but I mean, you're right, so all right. Yeah, I have to sit with it.
See how you go. 30 days. All right. And I'm going to put it in the calendar as well. And I will absolutely get back to you and see how you got on. Absolutely. Precious.
Okay.
Okay. What is still left on the table in this conversation?
No, I think we covered it all, to be honest. I think that's the main source of control, you know. I think that's something that I've always really tried to manage, you know. It's the one thing that I could have, you know, despite everything that, you know, I've been through personally. So, but I think focusing on the present is something that I can control. And so, I think that's a good first step, you know, at least.
Okay then. So if we were to continue having these conversations regularly, what do you think would happen in your life?
I think these kind of joys are sorry, huh? That's funny. Okay. I think these kind of conversations spark joy is what I meant to say. I don't know. I tend to like a lot of honesty and truthful conversations. I think that's why I consider myself a pretty open person. And so if they continued every day, I think that they would spark a lot of joy because I don't know. I think that when you speak from the heart, you kind of develop a relationship with a person to kind of understand their joys and their sadnesses. And I think that's kind of the raw element of what we do as humans. And so I honestly think if more people did conversations like this, the world would be a better place. And that sounds really cliche, but I think there's a lot of truth in that. You live in a place where there's a lot of facades and people trying to be who they're not, or simply because they don't know who they are. And I think finding the root of why we behave in the way that we do, or understanding why we feel certain things, is a really important part of self-discovery that I think, you know, we need. And so I think having these conversations every day would be really, really impactful.
Okay. Precious, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course, I enjoyed being here. I told you I'd stick to the same answer.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but thank you. It was a really productive conversation, and I hope that your listeners found a little bit of value.
The challenge I've set for Precious is deliberately a high challenge. You're talking about someone who is driven, motivated, who's clearly got the passion, the purpose there in what she does. And so it seems counterintuitive to tell Precious, stop thinking about it. Let your mind off it. You, the listener, may be familiar with this. You may have had a time, or indeed in a time, where you have this passion, you have this fire, this motivation to achieve, to succeed, to get things going, to get things moving. And what we get used to is the reproductive process of using that motivation, that desire, and that drive to build solutions for the problems that we face, for the challenges that we come across. So I'll say the same to you, the listener, now. If you've had a problem that's persisted, or a challenge that's persisted, and you've tried a lot of things, and you find that there's boundaries, blockages, barriers in your way at every turn, take a break. Pick the solution that seems like the most counterintuitive solution. Take your mind off it. Move away from it. Because this might be a sign that actually this solution requires a very different and new approach. How many times has a thought got in your way? How many times have you had a thought that's inspired you, but you've yet to take action on it? On these episodes, I speak to people who are about social and self-awareness and accountability towards creating a much better world for every other human being. If this sounds like you, please feel free to get in touch with me at The Only Other Dan on Instagram, Daniel Holly on LinkedIn, or you can email me at firstnaturecsm@gmail.com. That's 1sternaturecsm@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to rate it 5 stars, share it with a friend if you think that they benefit from hearing it too.